gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all. The executive producer, Chris LaVoy. What? Huh?
Huh? What? Where? Hey!
Huh? Voice DD Jim Ward, who is off today because?
His knee is swollen. He needs to stay off of it.
Right. Your knee, very, very important for radio.
Well,
we
yeah.
wish him well. Okay. All right. Hopefully, Jim's knee will return tomorrow. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. David Bender, coming up, we will preview the State of the Union address, and Charlie Pierce at Esquire.com. But first, we're busting her out of the news center.
What?
For emergency duty. Good morning, Jackie Schechner. Ah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Your
Jackie.
Your knees are exactly the right size. All right. And here's the one thing, though. Where's my hate letter music?
Oh, okay.
You will find this somewhat hilarious, I think, Jackie Schechner. We have a complaint letter.
Okay.
I think Chris mentioned we made Newsbusters yesterday.
We did.
And yeah. I wondered why I was getting all the hate letters calling me a racist, because I was like, what? I did, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Who is this from? Okay, do you remember we did it at Jackie's Healthcare Corner?
Yes.
And we played a Michelle Malkin soundbite. It was a
Correct.
Whole bunch of nonsense that was, I don't remember. We deconstructed the whole thing.
Right, it was a whole bunch of crap.
Right, but that was also the morning that we were obsessed with the slow Loris eating a rice ball.
Yes.
Correct.
And we posted it on my Facebook page and we talked about it all morning because it was our latest internet fixation.
Right.
And so we were referring to it all morning and I swear to God, I did not understand this until you told me. So I said, let's unpack this rice ball of nonsense, meaning the soundbite, so you understand where this is going.
Oh, yeah, no.
Racist
you
Asian.
You were making a racial reference to Michelle Malkin.
Right.
According to Newsbusters. Which actually, in their right, if I'm not mistaken, said she was talking about a video
right.
of Laura eating a rice ball, but we can see how this was racist.
Right, and I'm going, isn't it not racist for someone to think I meant that? I wasn't thinking anything racial at all.
No.
We were talking about the video of the... I'm like, what? Okay. I'm just saying I think it was racist for people to think I had a racist intent. None of us were clearly...
No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Nobody read it that way until they started to suggest that perhaps that's what it was.
Right. Until they thought they caught you in something racist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you accidentally referred to the slow Loris eating a rice ball.
Oh, no,
right.
She didn't accidentally. I mean, that's what we were referring
no,
to.
No, I'm saying. But right. they were saying that that's not what she meant, that she actually meant something else.
Well, the president of the Asian American Journalists Association begs to differ. Paul Chung has written to us, right, Chris?
Yes.
Oh, this is for all of us. AAJA Media Watch seeks apology for rice ball slur on Stephanie Miller's show.
Okay, it wasn't a slur.
No.
I don't know why Jackie seemed to take the bullet for this. I don't know. Dear Ms. Jackie Schechner.
Oh.
Mr. Chris LaVoy and Ms. Stephanie Miller. In these partisan times, there are lots of people who look to make headlines as well as make a point. There are all kinds of ways to do this. But making racist statements should not be one of those ways.
Wow.
I agree. You'll be surprised to find we agree, Paul. Oh, my God. This is how far they have to go. See, the left is more racist than the... What? Okay, that's why we were disappointed that one of your commentators resorted to that tactic recently. In trying to counter an argument by Michelle Malkin on the healthcare debate on the show Talking Liberally with Stephanie Miller, your host, Jackie Schechner, played a comment.
What?
Okay, no, first of all, Jackie didn't, I did, but okay.
This person obviously doesn't pay attention
obviously
to this show.
Obviously didn't listen to the show at all.
Yeah.
Your host, Jackie Schechner, played a comment from Ms. Malkin. Ms. Miller followed up with a dismissive quip saying, we tried to unpack that little rice ball of nonsense.
That's actually not at all what you said.
No, it's hard to believe that rice ball would have... its way into the conversation if Ms. Malkin hadn't been of Asian descent.
No.
Except if we've been talking about a slow Loris
eating a rice
ball all morning.
The slow Loris is unpacking a rice ball.
Right.
And constantly
and we used
surprised.
That reference several times about several other things
right.
and people during the show. It didn't even occur to me that... Okay. Anyway. And whether the comment was meant to describe Ms. Malkin or her comment, it still isn't worthy of Ms. Schechner or of current TV.
It had nothing to do with Michelle Malkin.
I didn't say it.
Okay.
I didn't say it.
We'd like to see Ms. Schechner apologize.
I didn't say it.
Okay, well, well, if that's what counts as an apology for you, Jackie Stegner, well, that's just fine.
Done and done.
Actually, people know that when I make a mistake, I am the first person to admit I made a mistake.
Me too.
I don't think there's any weakness in that.
Right.
I think that if you make a mistake and you're aware of the fact that you made a mistake, then say you're sorry, you
absolutely
made a mistake, and move on. And I think the biggest problem we get into is when we try to defend ourselves knowing we did something wrong. So had I done something, I would have apologized for it. People know that about me.
Right. Oh, my God. I
You, on the other hand.
The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money sends both of this to both of us.
What is this?
What are we doing? What is this? And what are we doing? What should we do about this? And Chris and I both are like, okay, well, this is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Right.
Here's why.
And I pointed out to him the timeline of us playing the slow Loris, eating a rice ball, us talking about it the entire previous day, us talking about it that morning, and the talking about unpacking rice balls all morning long.
Oh, boy. This is where it started. Newsbusters. Here we go. Stephanie Miller blasts Michelle Malkin's rice ball.
I'm sorry.
This is approaching the level.
Michelle Malkin, you really think that that would be the insult you would use? There are so many things about Michelle Malkin that are
disturbing.
Right, I don't think her ethnicity is even of a concern to anybody.
It's of a concern to nobody.
Yes. As I recall Jackie saying at one point, well, that's a ridiculous point on health care because she's Asian.
Yeah.
I was like, Jackie, why would you drag that into there? And I wondered, again, I should know whenever I have hate mail that I don't understand. I'm
right.
Like, I should just call you and go, I made Newsbusters again, didn't I?
And I'll say, why, indeed, Ms. Miller, you have.
Or some Fox commentator has attacked you.
Right.
It happens so regularly, Jackie, that Chris doesn't bother to tell me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did wonder if I should forward you the link, and then I thought, nah, Chris is on it. He'll
know.
Yeah,
it shows up in my Google News alert.
Oh, yes.
Every time it happens, I'm like, oh, boy.
When I see it, I'm like, all right, what did Hannity say about me today in left-wing hate speech segment?
Do you have to weed through them to get to your regular email, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So they write, Newsbusters does, left-wing talker Stephanie Miller made an eyebrow-raising.
I'm surprised they didn't say lefty lib talker. That's the kind of language they use over there at Newsbusters.
Made an eyebrow-raising attack on Michelle Malkin on Thursday.
Did not.
Just before playing a clip of Malkin, Miller snarked, let's unpack this rice ball. Right, there it is again. Of health care nonsense from Michelle Malkin. This line could leave one with the impression that it was a racially tinged insult.
If you're racist, yes, it could.
If you're racist.
If you're inclined to think that way,
right.
Sure.
Miller's sidekicks, Chris LeBoy and Jim Ward, join in the verbal assault on Malkin with sophomoric jabs about her digestive tract. Well,
what?
First of all, if you listen to the show, it is comprised entirely of sophomoric jabs about digestive tract.
Right.
Did you talk about her digestive tract in particular?
No, we said she... Oh,
They helpfully supply a transcript, Jack, and let me...
I'm so sorry. You should tell me what it is you said.
And most times, I find it a service for my self-esteem because I'm like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
I would enjoy this show. Jim Ward, did she need a colonoscopy to pull that out of her ass? LeBoy and Miller laugh. Oh, Jim. Is there insurance for that? Clarissa LeBoy, someone on your Facebook page just said, dear Michelle Malkin, your colon is not a fact checker, no matter how many of your ignorant statements you pull out of your ass.
That was funny.
LeBoy and Ward laugh. Okay. and then this is the part, Jackie, you were saying that is kind of hilarious. They admit the rice ball line was actually a reference to something the radio host mentioned earlier in the hour and through the whole show. And became something of a running gag during the program, a video of a primate called the slow loris eating the food item. But someone tuning into the show at that very moment might have been left with the wrong impression, to say the least, if they had missed this banter.
So we're worried about offending people who tune in at that moment and misinterpret something out of context?
Right. Well, they would misinterpret it mainly because Newsbusters just posted a headline, even though they acknowledged I was talking about something entirely different that had no racial overtones at all.
They posted a misleading and out-of-context headline, as Newsbusters is wont to do.
And I sense that Newsbusters fans, Jackie, may not go beyond the headline.
I was going to say, you get to the second page, and it's like, by the way, this is entirely untrue.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when this gets posted to my Google News alert, it gets posted as the headline.
Right. And after the jump, we'll show you why this is complete bull.
Yeah.
But go ahead. It's too late. You've already sent your insult letters to Ms. Miller.
Is Stephanie Miller racist? No, but...
It's... Okay. Anyway, so there's that. So that was part of my day yesterday.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, dear God. At least it's State of the Union night. Hooray!
Woo! Do we have a State of the Union drinking game?
Oh, I know. We should.
Every time he says rice ball, drink.
That's not going to get anybody drunk.
Really? Really?
What should we pick? We should pick a word.
I don't. I'm still too upset about the Ted Nugent thing we talked about at the top of the hour. You know, Jackie, just when you think you can't get to another layer of disrespect against this president, whether you're not going to top Joe Wilson yelling "you lie" during a State of the Union. I mean, really?
Well, it's one thing to invite him. I don't understand why he's allowed.
Right.
If you are a regular citizen, not a celebrity, who had made a threat against the president, would he be allowed to attend the State of the Union?
That's what I would think. Right. It's what's his name? Oh, Texas Republican Congressman, that guy, Steve Stockman, announced he's excited to have a patriot like Ted Nugent joining me in the House chamber.
Do patriots threaten the president's life?
Well, apparently, I mean, this is just, first of all, Jackie, it's such an attention whore thing to do. You know, it's like, because now, of course, everybody's going to talk about this. And but it makes it, I think, into like a sideshow, a charade. This is the State of the Union, you know? I mean, this is a...
No, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would allow it. I just don't understand why the Secret Service doesn't step in and say, you know what, this is a man who's made a threat on the president. He should not be allowed to be in the chamber, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean...
It's astonishing to me. I mean, you can invite whoever you want. It doesn't mean that they're allowed to come.
Right. Would you like the fun facts for those of you that may have... just a quick review?
Sure.
He has in the past threatened to kill President Obama.
Yep.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, California Senators Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer.
That's right.
He said, and I quote... let's see, and it's, you know, this isn't like a Newsbusters transcript, this is an actual, this is...
Here, if you want, I have the audio.
Oh, you do? This whole thing?
Yes.
I was in Chicago and, okay, this is
it.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a part of Right Wing World, but we can play it early.
Well, let's do it now.
Okay.
I'm in Chicago, I said, hey, Obama, you might want to suck that one easy, you punk!
And he's holding a machine gun.
You don't get that, Obama, he's a piece of don't be sucking my machine gun, let's hear it for him!
Is my hearing going, or do we need subtitles?
I'd be happy to actually read it for you. I was in Chicago when I said, hey, Obama, you might want to suck on one of these, you punk, that he was holding his machine gun.
Oh.
Yes. That's what the Secret Service would deem a threat against the president's life. Obama, he's a piece of... and I told him to suck on my machine gun. Then I was in New York and I said, hey, Hillary, you might want to ride one of these into the sunset, you worthless bitch.
Aye.
Then I was out in California and I thought, Barbara Boxer, she might want to suck on my machine gun. Hey, Dianne Feinstein, ride one of these, you worthless whore. Okay. Also,
and this is the man we want in the same room as these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did we allow people who make threats against the president in the same room? When did that start?
He also at an NRA gathering had said of Obama, you remember this, and his vile, evil, America-hating administration wins re-election, I'll either be dead or in jail by this time next year, which one of my, believe, Jackie, his second visit from the FBI, because that would also be considered a threat. He told NRA members Obama and other Democratic officials are criminals and like an animal that needs to be shot. He's also claimed he now wishes the South had won the Civil War. He attacked civil rights leaders over their Obamic mumbo-jumbo. He's even denounced what he calls Obama's racist agenda and liberal jihad. But unlike most people, crazy people that have been visited by the FBI, Jackie, they don't get invited to the State of the Union.
Well, here's a little hypocrisy. Why is he going?
Yeah.
He hates the president so much, and he hates Senator Barbara Boxer so much, and he hates...
I'm sure it's to psych the president out, right?
The government. Why do you go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why. I think it's just a way to, it's a mind game.
Yep.
You think the president cares about Ted Nugent?
No. Okay. That's the good news. That's the good news. He's got other stuff to do, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
All right. Jackie Shagner remains in the sidecar, filling in. She's filling in for Jim Ward.
For Jim Ward?
Right.
Will she yell, Reince Priebus?
We'll make her. And also do Christopher Walken.
Okay.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She gets insulted by more right-wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time. Can't touch this. Yo, found the bell.
School is in, fucker. Yeah, that's right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schaffner!
Good morning.
Is in the sidecar, and then she has to go write the things that she says in the news.
Yeah.
Okay. However, before you go, another hate letter for us.
They just keep coming.
Oh, God, really?
See, this is what happens, right? Newsbuster says I said something, and then I get a lot of C-word letters.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
Yes. On things that I didn't say.
Right.
Okay. So what we were saying is we were referring all morning to the...
Slow Loris eating a rice ball.
Right.
Which is a very cute internet video.
Yes. It was our latest obsession. And anyway, so I said, let's unpack this rice ball of healthcare nonsense from Michelle Malkin, not thinking anything racial at all. Until, of course, it was pointed out to me that I must be an incredible anti-Asian racist.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so Joe writes, to whom it may concern, to which we always say, that doesn't include any of us here.
No, but go
please,
on.
Please, feel free to write to someone that does give a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, to whom it may concern, I was recently offended to a comment of... I'm offended already on his attack on prepositions.
Yeah.
Let me just start by saying. I was recently offended to a comment of... Ugh. Stephanie Miller is referring to, disagree, oh, to that... an Asian woman's comments as rice ball of nonsense is simply degrading and racist comments.
Oh.
Okay, that is such violence against the English language and grammar that I don't even know.
That syntax makes my heart hurt.
It is a war on syntax, isn't it, Jackie?
I'm a huge grammar nerd. It's incredibly offensive to me.
Many Asians has supported the liberal cause, but many will not tolerate its hateful and disrespectful against Asians who disagree with Stephanie Miller as referred to as rice ball.
Oh, gosh.
As a 100% Asian, I am still looking for an official apology. I am looking forward for an apology to such a coward misuse of words. Thanks, Joe.
I'd like him to apologize to people who speak the English language and use prepositions properly.
Yeah, I am. I'm offended on behalf of every preposition.
I just want to ship him to Conjunction Junction.
Right.
Can we do that, please?
Once and for all, there was nothing racist in anything that was said.
Right. Nope.
Right. There was no racial intent whatsoever.
Nothing.
I will contend I think it is racist of people to think that Daily, they've heard us talking all morning about the Loris eating rice ball.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
95% of these people did not hear the segment, did not hear any of the previous day's show, did not hear any of the previous hour where we talked incessantly.
I am...
Probably a little too much about the slow Loris eating a rice ball.
It's abundantly clear from the letter sent by the Asian Journalists Association that they didn't hear it.
They didn't hear a single word.
Go back and review it.
Right.
Because you were behind all of that. Yeah. To their letter.
Way to go, Jackie.
Way to go, Jackie. Good job.
Good on you.
All right. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo. Hi, Dave. You're on with Jackie and the crew.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I look at...
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
I don't know why Newsbusters is so upset. You didn't say anything about Ann Coulter's rice ball.
Oh, you see what you did there?
Let the record show.
Let the record show that Dave from Buffalo made that comment and not...
Stephanie Miller.
Or Jackie Schechner.
I'll get blamed for this somehow.
See, this is what happens in correcting a previous Newsbusters story. I frequently make Newsbusters again.
You do.
Okay, so there's that. So that happened again. All right, so kids, we will be previewing the State of the Union. Jackie Schechner, very excited. We will, and let's not call it a ball of anything, but we will unpack the whole State of the Union tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that election night is Christmas, and this is more like maybe Easter.
Right.
Like we get a little basket with the grass and the candy, and right?
Yes.
Yeah. State of the Union isn't as big a deal as some of the other big deal election nights. But
for political geeks on Valentine's week with nothing else to do, party time.
Oh.
All right. All right.
Well, you're asleep on Valentine's night anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. I don't
We're
care anyway.
We're going to sleep right through it.
Stupid holiday. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Adult beavers can top 50 pounds, making
Stephanie Miller
North America's largest rodent.
That is so soothing. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Steve and Sue, guess where they're going? Chicago Sexy Liberal.
What?
Going to Chicago, Steph and the Mook. Steve and I are coming from Texas to see your show.
Whoa.
We've been, right? What are they going to do?
What are we going to do? Road trip.
Road trip. We've been fans since the first time we heard you on satellite radio, then iHeartRadio, and on Ustream. When you started on Current, we dropped our cable and got Dish. Rock on. Well, this will probably be our own one chance to see your show. We splurged on meet and greet tickets, a nice hotel. We got our tickets in the mail. Row 4 in the pit. See you in April. Road trip. Awesome. I would go. I would hurry and get those tickets. They are going very, very fast for Chicago Sexy Liberal.
They are.
The only Midwest show this year. It's only one of three. We've already done East Coast. There'll be a West Coast later in the year. That's it. All right. Lots to get to. Happy State of the Union Day.
Hooray.
Very, very excited.
I know.
Right? Richard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Richard.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say I've listened to your show for a very long time, and what you said about Michelle Malkin might have been somewhat insensitive, but definitely you're not a racist. And
thank
I just wanted people to know that. I'm
thank
obviously
you.
You're opposite when it comes to the political spectrum. Now, the thing with Ted Nugent at tonight's
State of the Union.
Yeah. It's Michelle Obama, our first lady, obviously a fantastic first lady, is going to have Hatia's family there. And that's a statement that kind of, I just would like to know if they're going to go after gang members and convicted felons that commit gun crimes as hard as they go after people like myself who are honest, law-abiding, never done anything wrong.
How are they going after you more than they're going after? I mean, obviously they're going after gang violence as well. How are they going after you harder?
By basically saying the people that own guns are the ones funneling all these guns to these gang members. I'm completely for laws that track down these two young men that they arrested. One I heard has confessed.
Right.
They should
right.
totally investigate how
absolutely.
He got that gun.
Right.
And then find the people that are guilty of how he got that gun and bring them before, you know, the prosecutors. Now, Cook
right.
County is incredibly light on gun violence. Incredibly light.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let you know they give probation to people who steal guns from gun stores and without any qualms. So just listen to our side. We do not want to be vilified or compared to felons and gang members when it comes to gun ownership and the use of guns. That's all
well,
I know.
How are you? I don't understand your analogy. I don't understand how you're being compared. I mean, obviously, a what do you call it? A law-abiding gun owner. How are you being persecuted?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the way that, because if you look at the last 15 years of the gun control issue, what used to be Handgun Control Incorporated is now the Brady Campaign against gun violence, or to prevent violence. I mean, you change the frosting, but it's still a chocolate cake underneath the frosting. I mean, it's still basically they want to take away guns from people who are honest, law-abiding people.
No, they
nobody wants to take away
how
guns.
How have you been, I don't understand, you still haven't said how you've been persecuted. As a law-abiding gun owner,
well, I've listened to the debate now since for about the last 4 or 5 months, and it's ratcheted up to where anybody that owns a gun is some kind of a hater.
No, nobody has said that at all. The only thing they're, you know, obviously the president has talked about the thing that the vast majority of Americans want. They want background checks.
Yep.
They want the majority would like a ban on military on assault rifles and on high capacity clips. But what I mean,
but Stephanie, if you look at what they did in Australia when it comes to semi-automatic rifles, they outlawed every single thing that's semi-automatic. Everything.
Right, and gun violence dropped precipitously.
Yes, the burglaries and home crimes went skyrocketed. We can go back and forth with crime statistics all you want.
Yes, right. We can go back and forth, but I would win. So
yeah.
That's what I love. They like to twist. Stuff and I mean, it's just there was a horrific gun violent crime. I forget what the incident was. Now they cracked down on it. Gun crime has gone way down. I mean, it's.
And did you hear he threw something out there that we have no way of checking? He said that Cook County is extremely lax in gun prosecutions. That people get probation for
right.
gun assaults.
Right.
Like, I don't know that that's true.
Right. I know.
Yeah. I was going to say Google that for me, but.
yeah. By the way, that's why the dip congressman that's bringing Ted Nugent said that he's bringing him is because there's going to be victims of gun violence there. So he feels like it's a point-counterpoint to bring Ted Nugent because...
Who threatens gun violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, because Gabby Giffords and the parents of the girl just slain from Chicago are going to be there. So.
Right.
That's fair and balanced.
That's helpful.
Right. Boyd in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Boyd.
Hello.
Hi, Boyd. Go ahead.
Hey, Stephanie. I really love you guys.
Thank you.
That last caller was kind of a goofball.
Thank you.
A goofball.
Let's unpack that goofball.
Yeah.
What happened to the top of the Republican leadership to say, hey, you know, don't bring that person and, you know, sensible.
Boyd, thank you. A reasonable Republican Party would not want the face of that guy, you know, of somebody like Ted Nugent there representing them.
You know, and the president also can say, just remember, you know, the DOJ has drone strikes, you know. So,
I missed that.
You know, they know where he lives.
Yes, right. I'm sure the president will improvise something about a drone strike against Ted Nugent. Not really. Okay. Yep, he is going to mention, obviously, gun control will be part of the speech. And,
background check means universal registration. Universal registration means universal confiscation, universal extermination.
We don't agree with what you're doing coming to Texas to, quite frankly, piss on us.
I've been listening.
Hitler took the guns.
To what comes out of you.
Mao took the guns.
I'm assuming.
Stalin took the guns.
That you have us to lose.
So we're exploiting red coat treason.
The planet Earth ain't making it through to your head.
Get your kids away from the school that is indoctrinating them that socialism is okay.
You've been battling.
Find a place where you are surrounded by like-minded people.
Global collaborator scum you are!
You're drooling control.
I've taken everybody's guns.
You are insane. I will find you your own padded room.
I know you want our guns. We're going to defeat you.
And in case you have forgot, what an odd job. Don't you think you might just have us through?
We're showing everybody.
What an odd job. Your mind has slipped away.
You're coming to take me away, huh?
What an odd job.
You're the one who won't do anything about the mental deal.
The Barack Obama gang actually is attempting to re-implement the tyranny of King George. And if you want another Concord Bridge, I got some buddies.
Wow.
That was Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor, and Iris and Diane and Raleigh on vocals. But it includes everything I love, gun nuts and heart. What's not great about that?
Yeah. Barracuda.
Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Isn't that funny how the dude said he was calling about Ted Nugent, but then went off on his own tangent?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. They're tricky like that.
Happens a lot.
Well, I actually called about Ted Nugent. I've already called Mr. Boehner's office asking what in the heck is wrong with him, allowing that sort of scum onto the House chambers. I just don't understand what they're trying to represent, and if he could just get some control over his caucus is pretty much the way I say it on the phone, trying not to laugh.
But well, you know, Deb, you know that they don't. None of them have control of the party in that there's two responses, State of the Union. There's a Republican and a Tea Party
That's
one.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and since when, right? Rand Paul, right, is giving the Tea Party response to both the Republican response and the president.
It's only been since the president was African-American. Thank you.
Thank you. Hold your calls. You know what? You're the smartest girl in class, and you get a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card. How about that?
You are the people of my dreams. I was going to say the woman of my dreams.
Well.
But, you know, I always leave Chris and Jim out.
Right.
I know he's not
well,
there
leave
today.
Jim out today.
Yeah.
Well, the thing
he
is,
did.
I know he's not there, but he's so great.
Isn't
and
he
I
awesome?
Never say so.
Aw, that's so cute. All right, hang on.
I
we're
mean,
giving you
guys are, too.
We're
aw,
giving
thanks.
You Bowies. Hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the best in the West. The North and
I love
the
you.
South.
Awesome, awesome. I need that this week. All right.
Oh.
For amazing Valentine's Day deal on giant freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, go to berries.com.
Uh-huh.
Click on the mic. Type in the code Stephanie.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Let's go to...
as big as a...
baby's fist.
Yeah.
Okay. Dale in Era, Georgia. Hi, Dale. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I'm offended by how Fox News
puts Ted Nugent out there like he's some kind of hero.
Yeah.
When in fact, he would open his 80s concerts with these racist rants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, hello?
Yes, right here.
Listening.
Oh, hello.
I thought, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But, you know, my brother has just told me that he also was kicked off the Kiss farewell tour because of his racist rant.
Yeah, and he's the one, and this is the play they always run, Dale. He repeatedly calls the president racist.
Well, they always, what is it, getting ahead of things and try to blame the other side for what they, in fact, are doing.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, the things he said in the 80s, I don't want to repeat them, but he used every racial epithet in the world,
right.
Screaming, raving. Yeah. And then you've got Sarah Palin buddying up to him. And what does that say about all the people that love him so much?
Right. Right.
It says that they're racist.
Yeah. Well, this is why we spotlighted this ridiculous Newsbusters thing, because this is what they continually do, is to try to go, no, it's really the left that are the racists. Take some...
We saw your show Friday. You didn't say anything. I understood exactly what
I know.
You were saying.
I know. Yeah. Nobody except racists would think that I meant anything racial
right.
about Michelle Waldman.
If you had
right.
thought about it two or three times, it might have occurred to you, but
right.
I don't think... And once they said it, I thought, well, that's just pitiful.
Right, right. But that's what I mean, because they have true racists like Ted Nugent on their side, and this is how they do the same play, Dale. Like, oh, it's both sides do it, and both sides are equally as bad. No,
no,
they're not.
I want to see people call him out on it.
Yeah.
Did he have some kind of epiphany in his life recently where he renounced that type of thing? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, also,
you know what, Dale? It's not even just the ridiculous comments he's made, but any sane version of the Republican Party that my dad and Goldwater were in would make sure that anybody that has made a threat against the life of the President of the United States is not sitting at the State of the Union address with the President. I mean, it's just, I use the word unprecedented.
Yep.
Really.
And don't forget, he crapped his pants to get out of Vietnam.
Thank you. Thank you. At long last, they have no decency, is my point. Thank you. Whew! I can always get a fart joke in there. 46, thank you for that. 46.
You're welcome.
Wonder if he will have a load in his pants tonight, in fact. Really? What is that?
P.U.
Woo! 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's a jazzy fizzle. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
With decorative swizzle.
Right? 1-800-STEP-12. David Bender, political strategist extraordinaire, to talk about the preview of the State of the Union at the top of the hour. Roger in Queens, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roger.
Steph, you sexy liberal, you. How are you? Okay, the whole Michelle Malkin controversy, I've got it settled.
It's a controversy only at Newsbusters, but okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, here's what everybody is missing. Rice balls are Italian.
Oh, we'll see.
Here in New York, if you want a rice ball, you go to an Italian deli.
That's right.
I have never been to an Asian restaurant and gotten anything resembling a rice ball.
That
yes,
is true.
Right. But rice bowls are Italian. So now here's my problem.
Right.
If you, Stephanie Miller, are in any way insinuating that Michelle Malkin is Italian, I've got a real problem with
right,
that.
Right, right. Now I've enraged the Italian groups as well, and I apologize. Okay. Let's go to Alan in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alan.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I was just wondering, Ted Nugent, you know, I served 4 years in Vietnam. You know, here's a guy that dodged the draft, had an underage girl living with him
yep.
a couple of years, you know, before they got married. Is this the type of people the Republican Party is going to embrace, you know, a draft
dodger?
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. I mean, this is the motley crew that is the Republican Party. I mean, this is a United States congressman is bringing someone that has threatened the life of the president to the State of the Union.
And one other point. We as sportsmen, you know, we control our own. You know, we outlawed guns for duck hunting. They were like the 4-gauge and 8-gauge. Those were basically like cannons on the front of boats to kill like 40, 50 ducks or whatnot. We outlawed them.
Yep.
You know, where are the sportsmen stepping up, you know, outlaw some of these guns? They're not need. All it's good for is a pissing contest.
Yeah, Alan, it's right. Well, why do we accept regulations on everything, as you say, from hunting rifles to whatever you want to cars? I mean, there are all sorts of regulations for everything that, you know, have provably keeping us safer, whether it's seatbelts, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is just incredible that you know, literally the NRA went to no regulation pretty much of any kind on guns. Rick in Ohio. Hi, Rick. Welcome. Hello, Rick.
Hi. How you doing,
good,
Mama?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Basically, I think with Ted Nugent, we need to hit him in the pocketbook. Basically, call your radio station, say don't play his music, don't buy his albums. Hit him in the pocketbook. Anybody who sits there and does the type of thing that he did deserves to be punished.
Does he have a music career to kill? Has there been anything since Cat Scratch Fever? I wasn't aware of that.
He plays at Indian casinos.
Oh, all right. Let's call them then.
All right.
Let's go to Kenny Pick in Cleveland. Hey, Kenny.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello,
baby. Can't wait to see you all in Chicago.
Yahoo!
Yay!
Hopefully you'll bring a fresh arsenal of rice ball jokes with
yes,
you.
Yes, of course. You know
so.
I will.
So,
a loaded cannon full of rice ball jokes, yes.
Yeah, so, but, you know, shame on Jackie for not saying something racist. I expected so much less of her. No, I'm kidding. I'm wondering if Newsbusters is going to cover this video that I found for Ted Nugent. If you type Ted Nugent racist in Google,
yes.
Well, you know, you get a lot of results. But
yes.
The second one is an interview with him from 1995 with a guy named Bob Mack from Grand Royal Magazine.
Uh-huh.
And he uses the N-word. He swears like a freak, and he also says that he claims that he, you know, real Americans are white people, and he criticized rap music. And by the end, I don't know how, but he figures that he invented the miniskirt too, which blew my mind. I know he brought back the loincloth, but you know,
yes.
I don't know. So,
all right, goodbye, Kenny.
No, I was just going to say, and, you know, if based on his experience to get out of Vietnam, I think a more appropriate nickname for him would be Turd Nugget. Too.
There you go. All right. So. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. He wrote that in advance.
He did.
Oh, you little scamp.
Aw.
All right. And this is the other, I was saying the thing that Ted Nugent said more recently than the last thing we played.
I'll tell you this right now. If Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year. If you can't galvanize and promote and recruit people to vote for Mitt Romney, we're done. We'll be a suburb of Indonesia next year. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off in November.
How'd that go for you? How'd that work out? Mary in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. My comment is along the lines that you were just talking about sensible regulation. You know, you can't take a cannon to hit a duck and that kind of thing.
Right.
And this argument that background checks would lead to registry, that leads to confiscation, it is so inane. It's an excuse to do nothing. It would be like Big Pharma arguing that because the government controls the sale of some painkillers, they're called opiates, they'd come in and take my aspirin.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. This is what the gun nuts always do. They do it's the slippery Hitler water slide. Just
what
one, we're always like 1 or 2 seconds from Hitler, as we know. Okay, exactly. Jan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to give you a fact check. Love you guys.
Thank you.
You can look at any newscast last night on the major networks regarding Chicago and the gun control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Mayor Emanuel and Police Commissioner Gary McCarthy were talking about that we do have really lax gun control here, and they had photos of people who were up on charges recently for illegal gun possession.
Uh-huh.
And were given probation, came out, and three of them committed murder. Mm-hmm. So they want some automatic minimum sentencing for anyone with illegal guns.
Yeah, if you listen to the far right, you'd think that there's a strong gun regulation in Chicago.
Huh. Right. Yeah, that's what, honestly, that's what Gary McCarthy said. Contrary to the, you know, hype across the country, we have very lax. He said that's why we have so many murders.
Yep, absolutely. All right, right back with David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's a love letter from Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts, mixed in with all my hate mail.
Aww.
From Newsbusters. Okay. Love letter. Hi, Steph. Just want to say I love you in that radio listener devoted fan kind of way. Oh, please. There's only one way to say it. That's with the podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Or you could say it with Pro Flowers.
Right. Type Stephanie in the box, please. Or buy tickets to Sexy Liberal Chicago. And wish you a happy Valentine's Day in advance. I'm sure Max and Fred are going to come up with something very special for you on Thursday. Well, they just got it.
They better get you Sherry Fairies.
Right?
Sheesh.
All right. And now their deadbeat dad. Here he is.
Return.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return.
David
Bender. This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return.
David Bender.
He is their, he's my sometimes house husband, and of course, Progressive Voices Channel, tune in radio, by the way.
That's
right. You can get it there as well. Good morning, David Bender.
We can get you there as well.
Exactly.
That's what's missing. And listen to this. Listen to the quality of this.
I know, you're on ISDN.
Whoa. I'm on ISDN. I'm all 70s. It's really amazing. By the way, I'm getting Max and Fred cheese.
Thank you.
Large hunks of cheese,
yes.
Which I'm leaving right out for them just
yes.
At eye level.
Yes. Give me my wacky 50s sitcom music, which
okay.
is what it's like every time David Bender stays at my house. I just have to go up and change real quick. Put the cheese out. We were pouring wine and stuff. And then I hear, no! And I'm like, David, you didn't put the cheese on a low table, did you? And as it turns out, he did.
Well,
yes,
you were.
And Max and Fred, I came running downstairs, and Max and Fred both had a giant hunk of cheese in their mouth, and I saw as they ran out the door.
You weren't specific as to where to set the cheese out.
And more to the point, she had pearls on. That's the thing. You don't see
and
Stephanie.
And you had some splaining to do.
Well, I also had pearls on. That's another matter entirely. And speaking of the State of the Union,
yes.
As we were,
yes.
My own view is that Steve Stockman should disinvite Ted Nugent and invite Michelle Malkin. What do you think?
There you go. Somebody reasonable.
Somebody reasonable. Somebody who actually might have something to add.
But, you know, David, we kid. As we do.
As
but,
we do. We're kidders.
But, you know, as someone that has managed every campaign since Rutherford B. Hayes, as we've spoken, I mean, is this not, you know, Exhibit 5,633? This is not my dad and Goldwater's Republican Party. I mean, it is just a new level of disrespect for the president.
You lie. You
right.
lie.
Right.
That guy is still there.
Yeah.
A man who actually screamed out, you lie, is still going to have a seat.
Like it's Def Comedy Jam and not the State of the... I mean, the State of the Union, like you and I both have a sense of history and decorum, and this is... It's still supposed to be the United States of America. And
history maybe, decorum definitely not. But we're talking about us, okay?
Yes.
Here's the truth. The truth is that for a long time, presidents had the good sense not to go to Congress. Washington did it. Adams did it. Jefferson thought it was a bad idea. He sent a message. And it took... years. It took way past my friend Rutherford B. Hayes, not to Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson came and said, you know what, I'm gonna give this speech again. And so it is now a modern era tradition, really, for the president to address this joint session of Congress. It wasn't always thus.
Right.
And maybe it would be better just to send them a note.
Yes, exactly. Here's how things
are. Here's how things are. Yep. You guys figure it out. And if you can read, here's our State of the Union. We know that certain things are going to be said tonight. We know that the president is going to continue some of the themes from his inaugural address. And, you know,
right.
I've got to tell you, the
You mean the issues that he ran and won on, that the majority of Americans agree with him, but he will be obstructed by the Republicans in Congress?
Yes, I mean those.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is astonishing to me now, what are we, it is about 3 weeks since the
right.
inauguration. And it is a speech, the farther away from it you get, rather like President Kennedy's Ask Not What Your Country Can Do For You, the farther away we get from Seneca Falls to Selma to Stonewall,
right.
the more moved I am, the more I realize that was a moment, a defining moment in the history of our country, where he brought together the new America, the new American majority, which is women, which is minorities, which now includes the LGBT community, and he brought them together. And rhetoric matters, Steph. That's
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
the thing that, you know, they say words are not important. They, you know, they're spoken, they go out in the air, and they're gone. But every now and again, when a president speaks, and it's few and far between when you have those moments, it changes history. And this president did that.
Right. Well, but, you know, obviously this is the, you know, what we're hearing is this is going to focus more on the economy and jobs than anything else. But again, what's going to change? Like, what are we facing now? The March 1st deadline, right, for avoiding the...
for sequestration.
Right, right. And again, you know, there's Mitch McConnell yesterday. Clearly the president wants more revenue for more government. He's gotten all the revenue he's going to get. Been there, done that. So, I mean... that's the problem, is you think whatever the president says, he's going to talk about money for infrastructure, clean energy technologies, manufacturing jobs, expanding access to early childhood education, and there he will be sitting in front of a Republican Congress that's going to once again obstruct all of that, right?
Well, they are, and what the president is also doing is he's leaving Washington immediately, and among other things, he is doing the modern era version of the fireside chat. He's going to do a Google chat after the State of the Union.
Oh, cool.
He is going over the heads of this Congress, and that is the difference between Barack Obama 2.0. This president is liberated. You're no longer sensing that he's trying to get Mitch McConnell to come to the table or John Boehner, as if John Boehner actually had any power left in his own caucus.
Yeah.
He's now going to, not only is he going to do the Google chat, he's going to Atlanta, South Carolina, Chicago. He is back out on the road, and Obama for America has become organizing for action. And there will be State of the Union watch parties all over the country. We are in a permanent campaign, but in a good way, actually, because that's how you're going to move this
right.
Congress.
One
They're going to be terrified.
One of the issues, obviously, is going to be different tonight that the American people, again, largely agree with him, is on gun control. And
right.
there will be Gabby Giffords and her husband tonight. There will be the parents of the girl just slain in Chicago sitting with Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me, and there will be Ted Nugent. On their side.
Yes. I mean, suck on this.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is shameful. I would call it comedy, but it is, you know, it's still too close. It's tragedy to see Ted Nugent have any role or any presence in a ceremony like this. However, when we use phrases like gun control, okay, we give up. It's pro-choice, pro-life. Words do matter. This isn't about gun control. This is about gun safety. This is about protecting children. This is about the things that 92% of Americans agree on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we allow them to define the terms, which is what happened for those first 4 years, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act became Obamacare. It became a pejorative.
Right.
We can't let that happen on this issue. When you have police chiefs, when you have people who believe in public safety saying across the board, we've got to do these things. then you win the debate. And that's what the president is smart enough to understand. He does have the American people on his side.
Yeah, and here's what I love is here's the Republican Party saying we're not in disarray, and there are two responses once again to the State of the Union, the Republican Party and the Tea Party. Here's Rand Paul talking about his...
I see it as extra response. I don't see it as necessarily
right.
divisive.
No.
You know, I won't
no.
say anything on there that necessarily is like, oh, Marco Rubio is wrong. He and I don't always agree, but the thing is this isn't about he and I. This is about the Tea Party.
Yeah, they still haven't finished their argument between the Republican Party, the Tea Party, and Fox News, right? Before they can have a debate with us.
Wouldn't it be funny if Rand Paul just got up there and said, Marco,
Rubio. You know, everybody yelled Rubio.
just for the hell of it.
Just
come
for
on.
The heck of it.
Here's what we have learned. Rand Paul is seriously running for president.
Oy.
And just get ready for it.
That turkey? Really?
He is the Tea Party's darling.
Mm.
And so you bring the Ron Paul, if you want to call them libertarians, you can. They do. But you bring that Ron Paul contingent in, and you marry it with the Tea Party, and you've got a movement within the primary electorate of the Republican Party that's going to be very tough for establishment. When Marco Rubio is the establishment candidate, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what else do you expect to hear tonight from the president?
Climate change.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And we're getting a little preview. That was not a toss-off line, Stephanie.
That's what Senator Boxer said when we got to go to her luncheon right after the... she was really, like, genuinely, David, excited with what the president said in the inaugural.
Did she serve box lunches?
Hi!
Really?
You went there?
No, come on. It is something that no one expected. Rather like the Spanish Inquisition, no one really expected that the president was going to make this a top priority. And frankly, it's long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to hear it yet again tonight in the State of the Union. And it is going to be something that will cross party lines. Look, when you have climate disasters, when you have storms of the century annually, every year, something is wrong. And it cuts across. Remember, it hit Republican areas. Remember, it was Peter King, a Republican congressman, who basically started screaming at his own leadership for their lack of responsiveness on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're now getting to a place where the Republicans themselves realize they have to act, not because they think, you know, even if they don't believe it's real, they're seeing what's happening in their districts, and it's economically a disaster for them.
Yeah. It doesn't matter until it becomes money. Then it suddenly gets Republican.
It's in my backyard.
There you go. David Bender, a political director of progressivevoices.com, right?
Exactly right. And you can get it on your TuneIn app, because guess what? You can get the Stephanie Miller Show
on
your TuneIn app.
Golly.
That's right.
Golly.
Golly.
David Bender, happy State of the Union. Talk to you tomorrow.
Happy State of the Union.
All right, honey. There we go.
Thank you, David Bender.
Yay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In a perfect world, there would be no right-wing talk radio. Until then, there's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Well, no matter how bad things are in your life, at least you're not on that cruise ship where the passengers report there's sewage running down the walls.
Yeah.
And the line for food, hours long. On that stranded cruise ship.
Yep.
However, that makes the sewage run down the walls somewhat slower. It's taking them longer to get food in order to...
They're not going to be towed to the port until Thursday.
Right. Guess what they get, though? A full refund, well, not actually a refund, it's a credit
for
another trip on?
Carnival Cruise.
That's what you want to do.
That's the first thing you want to do, is get right back on.
When can we go again? Okay, I don't get it. Timothy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Hello. Is it me? Am I on here? Yes. Well, I was going to give you a little fun fact.
Uh-huh.
In 1970, Grace Slick was denied access to a luncheon at the White House
mm-hmm.
that she was actually invited to. So why can't they just tell Ted Nugent, no, you can't come?
Well, also remember, yeah. Cindy Sheehan was denied access to the State of the Union, wasn't she?
That's, yeah. What did Grace Slick do?
What do you mean, what did she
what,
do?
What did she, why was she denied access?
It was 1970.
Because she was a radical and she'd taken LSD.
And she was a protester against Nixon.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And her guest was Abby Hoffman.
Oh, all right.
So they didn't feel that that was appropriate.
Yeah.
There is precedent for denying people.
I wish someone could just say.
Computer says no.
Let me check the computer now.
Yeah.
You don't get to go.
I mean, if Cindy Sheehan is denied access, why can't we deny Ted Nugent access?
Right, because she was wearing a T-shirt or something, right?
Yep.
Mabel in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Oops, wait, I did the wrong thing. Mabel. Hi, Mabel.
Hi. How you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I keep thinking about all the reasons the Republicans keep saying that we can't have the different forms of gun control that is needed. And I keep thinking if we can't have it because it doesn't work, then why don't we throw out the penal code and the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, there
because
you go.
Because under the penal code, murder doesn't work, throw it out.
Yeah.
Under the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery sure as hell doesn't work, not even for the congressman.
Yeah.
So throw it out.
Yeah, exactly. Bob Welch, he's an NRA lobbyist. This is secret audio.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we're up against with the gun lobby.
We have a strong agenda coming up for next year, but, of course, a lot of that's going to be sort of delayed. Connecticut effect sort of has to go through the process.
Connecticut,
I had one of the leading Democrats in the legislature who's with us, you know, sort of most of the time, not all the time, come up to me and say, Bobby, I got all these people in my caucus that really want to ban guns and do all this bad stuff, and we got to give them something. You know, how about we close this gun show loophole? Wouldn't that be good? And I said, no, we're not going to do that. And so far, nothing has happened on that.
Wow. He said we have a strong legislative agenda. It'll be delayed somewhat by the Connecticut effect.
Yeah.
That's a way to, you know, talk about a bunch of school children being blown away by military rifle.
Yeah, it's just a delay.
Yeah. And he said we even have some control of some Democratic congressmen.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Awesome. Gun safety. Just a year ago, a third rail of American politics will emerge as a central legislative issue in Washington this week. They're having these committee meetings. A bipartisan group of senators close to finishing consensus legislation to enhance background checks. And the president obviously will press his case for new restrictions in the State of the Union tonight, where there will be several victims of gun violence in the audience tonight, including Gabrielle Giffords. Her group, they just released an advertisement that she is in.
Take it from me. Congress must act. Let's get this done.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Okay, Ike in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the gun issue as well. Hi, Ike.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to try to arrange a friend of mine from Australia to call you. Unfortunately, it's like 4 in the morning yesterday or tomorrow or something
there.
Yeah. Oh, cry me a river. That's the time we get up every day. Go ahead.
There you go. But listen, under the conservative Prime Minister John Howard, they initiated a gun buyback. The crime rates, and I heard last hour from this guy that keeps repeating this NRA lie, that the crime rates went up. That's an absolute lie. And they do still have weapons, but what they did is they basically did what California is moving to do. And as a matter of fact, I believe the architect of that bill is the same woman that managed to get this done in Australia to the point that, look, only thing we're arguing about here is how many times you can flex your finger and fire a bullet. We're not trying to make it to where you can't own any guns. And as far as I'm concerned, anything over 6 shots out of a revolver, it's 6 shots for a revolver, it's 6 shots for a gun of any sort, and your rifles have to be bolt action. And you still have your right to own weapons, but we're not going to let this willy-nilly just everybody buy them, and the kind of garbage that's been going on, enough's enough. And you paranoid gun nuts better get used to it, because we're not going to stop until we get it done.
Ike, talk about quickly the thing you're talking about in Australia, because there was a big violence with an automatic weapon. They banned them, right? And obviously gun violence has gone way down. So what is the NRA lie you're talking about?
the NRA lie is that after that happened, that supposedly criminals were going around and kicking in people's doors and accosting them with handguns and weapons, and that is absolutely not the case. And furthermore, the weapons, when it comes to automatics, you can own them, but you have to keep them at the firing range, and you have to go through more of a background check to the point that you've got people that will vouch for you. You go through a mental evaluation, and you go through full gun safety training. But if you get caught, after 2 years, they had a grace period. They bought back every weapon and every clip. And after 2 years, if you got caught with that mess, guess what? You're going to prison. That's what we need to do here.
Mm, wow. All right. You're a gun grabber like me, Ike. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Get him. Coming to get him.
Oh, gosh.
Psych. Just kidding. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That girl is nothing but trouble.
Hey, yep. 34 minutes after the hour. Happy State of the Union Day. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tuesday, yes. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning, sir. So we've been talking about, you obviously wrote about your piece, the delightful Steve Stockman, Republican congressman, who will bring us the magic of Ted Nugent in person at the State of the Union.
Yeah, I hope the camera lingers on Ted for a long time.
Yeah.
And it says, guest of Republican Congressman Steve Stockman underneath him.
Yeah, and he said, I'm excited to have a patriot like Ted Nugent joining me. And I was actually reading the whole thing Ted Nugent wrote about how he got out of serving in Vietnam.
Yes, he found a very indelicate way of doing it.
Yes,
which,
yes.
I would not advise everyone else. I would much more advise them to put on a nice frock rather than, you know, do what he did.
Yeah, that's being a patriot, I guess.
Yes,
in Republican.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Steve Stockman, you say, already has demonstrated his not inconsiderable gift of being publicly nuts over this issue.
Yeah.
Now he's invited the guy whose threats against this president have drawn the attention of the FBI. Stockman is invited the Nuge because Democrats have invited some families of the Newtown massacre victims, and Stockman feels it's necessary to rebut their grief by bringing along a crackpot.
Yes, I think this is an entirely new thing about you know, the level of political debate. If you bring along a victim of gun violence, you have to bring along a gun crazy.
Yeah, for fair and
balance. Because both sides do it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. But I mean, we were talking about that. Literally, you get to the point where you go, is that, first of all, you and I both know it's never been done. But can you do that? This is someone who literally has been visited by the Secret Service more than once for, you know, speech that was considered threats against the president's life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, even the limited number of people who really want to work voluntarily for Steve Stockman have checked this. I mean, I assume maybe they haven't, but if they haven't, it'd be great, because it would be wonderful if, like, the Nuge were to get stopped at the metal detector or something and, you know, told he couldn't come into the Capitol.
Yeah.
Exactly. You wrote about
I did get the chance to run the headline Wang Dang Sweet Poontang, though.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
It really been
so,
waiting
thank
to
you.
Do that for a long time.
Thank you.
So there you go. There's that dream. And you but you wrote about this latest gun violence. You said the gunman walked into the public lobby. This is in Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Newcastle County Court. He opened fire, killing two women, injuring two Capitol Police officers. As you say, Wayne LaPierre says the only way to stop those guys is with good guys with guns. Well, there were good guys with guns here and metal detectors. Two of them got shot anyway. Two women, including the one the gunman meant to kill, got shot to death. Therefore, by his own logic, Wayne LaPierre is as full of as a Christmas goose. And you can point to a bunch of those, right? There was a guard at Columbine. There was
an armed guard at the Holocaust Museum. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense as an argument against sensible gun restrictions. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Well, and you say there's a whopping big backstory here. There are those of us who believe that gun laws should be tighter because the intensity of things like custody disputes tends to rise proportionally with the proximity of firearms, which reminds us that the Violence Against Women Act is still stalled by Republicans in Congress because the Heritage Foundation thinks it's unfair to men.
Yes, I mean it's amazing if you read the talking points put out by Heritage and by FreedomWorks about why they think that the renewing the Violence Against Women Act is a bad idea, which is basically that, you know, among other things, you lose your right to bear arms.
Yeah.
If you've, you know, committed violence against women, you lose your right to carry a gun to commit further violence against women, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the president obviously, you know, is going to address this tonight. I mean, and clearly that's going to be the emotional, with Gabby Giffords and other victims of gun violence there, that'll be, I would think, the emotional high point of the speech. I mean, do you expect it to be able to change anything that's going to happen? Because go ahead.
I think that if he continues to wrong foot them, I think they're he's going to get something. I don't think he's going to get the assault weapons ban because there are Democrats lined up against it. I don't think, you know, the magazine thing is a little bit, the size of the magazine is a little bit, is a little bit more possible, I think, but it's still a pretty tough slog. I think he'll get his background checks. But more to the point, he's been, I mean, the whole dialogue on this issue has completely changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was something that wasn't brought up at all in his first term.
Yeah.
Except by, you know, crazy people who were insisting that he was waiting until his second term to, like, go get their guns.
Well, you know, we just played this secret audio of one of the NRA lobbyists talking about the quote-unquote, you know, the Connecticut effect. Like, that'll go away soon. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, but I, as we've said, I do think it's different this
Well,
time.
I think the one thing that's different, not to be completely crass, is that there's money behind it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gabby Giffords has started an organization. She's raising money.
Yep.
I mean, there's money to counteract the money on the other side for the first time in a long while, probably for the first time since the Brady Bill. And I think that changes things around.
Actually, the president's also going to propose deep nuclear arms cuts. I wonder if he's going to whip out the Reagan on them again, which tends to make their heads explode.
Yeah.
But that's dramatic. They're dramatic cuts he's talking about, right?
Well, I mean, I think that Jay Carney's already walked that one back, hasn't he? I mean, he's already said that he isn't going to propose deep cuts in nuclear weapons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
You know, I think that was a New York Times story that came out, and you know, it may have been a trial balloon. It's not a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, the defense cuts in the sequester are not a terrible idea. I mean, Barney Frank is right. Why we still have that many troops in Germany is beyond me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, but here we are, right? March 1st is the sequester. I mean, we've already got, you know, Mitch McConnell saying clearly the president wants more revenue for more government. I mean, we're going to have the same. The president's going to lay out everything that he wants to do, that he ran and won on, right? And, you know, the American people largely agree with. And they'll be sitting on their hands on the other side.
Well, not only that, but he's being told by everybody on television that he has to reach out and have a quote unquote Nixon goes to China movement.
Yes.
Nixon goes to China moment in which he like adopts some of the plan that was completely rejected by the voters in the fall.
Yes. By the way, nobody writes about irritation with Sunday shows better than you do.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what I screamed at David Gregory. Yeah.
All should watch together. That would be awesome.
I'm going to start texting him during it. It's just, David Gregory said, what? But it really is always like, oh, well, the president really needs to reach out more. It's just, that's the meme every week, right?
Yeah, the president has to reach out more to reform entitlements. He doesn't have to reach out on anything else, just that.
Right.
You know, which means, you know, as Mike Murphy, I think, said this weekend, that means change CPI and making, quote-unquote, the beneficiaries pay a little bit more. Because that's the way we're going to solve our long-term debt problem.
I know. If I have to hear that on one more show, well, the president needs to lead.
Yeah, he is leading. Guess what?
Yes.
He's not leading in the direction you want him to go.
Right, right. But, I mean, this is, you know, that's the thing is, you know, again, we may be on one side of the partisan divide, but it is, you cannot keep saying, oh, well, it's both sides, the president needs to be more about, but it is the House Republicans. That is the problem, right? And they can't seem to me, coherently explain why they're on the wrong side of every issue.
You want to know the clearest indication of what's wrong with the whole thing, there are two responses to the State of the Union tonight. One of them is the sensible response from Marco Rubio, and the other one is Senator Akwabuda, who is going to get up and be the id.
Yeah.
Because they can't stop him.
Right.
I mean, a sensible Republican Party would point out to him that we're going to have one response to the State of the Union, and we're going to put up this guy that we really think should be president one day. And you can, you know, shut up, Rand. They can't do it.
Right.
There's
well,
no way to stop him.
Yeah, and our sensible Republican Party, you know, my dad in Goldwater's Republican Party would have said, hey, Stockman, you're not bringing Ted Nugent to the State of the Union. You're not bringing someone that's threatened the president's life, right?
Right. I mean, you know, for all the cosmetic changes they claim to be making, they still don't have any energy in the party if you get rid of the crazy people.
Mm-hmm. So what? I mean, what else do you are you expecting to hear? Hope to hear?
I mean, what would I hope to hear? I'd hope to hear like an aggressive climate change proposal, which I'm not going to get. He'll mention it. Mm. I'd like to hear jobs. I would like to hear not one word about the deficit. That would make my heart go pity-pat right there. Not a single word about the deficit. Not only would that make everybody's head on television explode, it would make me very happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we're being told is it'll focus on using increased spending to generate jobs, protect programs to help the middle class, bring down the deficit in part by cutting
more
tax revenue from wealthy Americans, though. He's going to once again say this is what the American people voted for, right?
Yeah. And what I'm fairly impressed by is that he's getting back on an airplane. As soon as it's over, and he's going to go try to sell this thing down in North Carolina. Because we'll hear, you know, all this yelling about, you know, he's back, he's still in the campaign. Well, yes, because he still has people to campaign against.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, that's what I was saying is that you can't reasonably watch any of these Republicans. Who was Eric Cantor, right, was on Meet the Press?
Right.
And it just, no matter how you spin it, it's like, no, you are on the wrong side in the polling of every issue. Everything the president wants to get done, he ran on those issues, he won on those issues. And, you know, did Eric Cantor say anything that made sense to you Sunday?
No, this is what he did for his beat. Now, first of all, if you're giving a really big speech about how the Republican Party is changing its appeal to working people, you don't give it at the American Enterprise Institute.
Yes.
You know, okay. I'm sorry. I don't care if they invite you to do it or not. You don't do it. You do it someplace else.
Yeah.
And second of all, I mean, he's got this. You know, we're going to put America back to work. Well, he doesn't have a single proposal that's going to do anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah, when Paul Krugman is on those shows, you just feel like going, just everyone else shut up, okay? He's the only one. He says it almost every week, right? Austerity is the worst possible thing we can do right now.
Yeah, and I mean, what was it? A week ago, he took a whack at Joe Scarborough, and Joe Scarborough hasn't stopped whining about it yet.
You're right.
He started in on it again today.
Yeah, you're right.
What'd he say?
Oh, he said he talked about, you know, how it's he compared Paul Krugman's ideas on austerity to climate change denial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as next to him, Mika seemed to, like, drift off to that happy place where she goes, you know, to wait out the endless morning.
That's the Chardonnay cloud that Peggy Noonan floats
sometimes. No. I think it's warm memories of her childhood with Daddy's Big.
All right, Charlie Pierce.
Daddy's
happy,
Big.
Happy State of the Union.
Happy
State
of the Union to you all.
We'll talk to you next
week. Bye, Charlie.
Right, CharliePierceEsquire.com. 45 minutes. Mika does sometimes look like she's thinking some happy thoughts just to be not listening to what you're saying. I am somewhere else now. Oh, thank you, a pony daddy. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I'm a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike draws our attention to the fact the Daily Show stole my Popey Changey joke.
Yeah.
How's that Popey Changey thing working out for you at the Vatican? Travis, you could just send them our address for where to send the check. We love the homage. Okay.
Yes, we do. We appreciate the fact that they listen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Daily Show writers. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Writes, Staff, I saw you and Kevin at DC Sexy Liberal. With all due respect, Mommy, you suck at racism. Yeah, I did make out with Kevin a little bit. A little bit. Sang Louie Louie to him.
You did.
It's a very touching moment. Oh, he's a rebutting newsbuster saying I'm racist because you know the whole thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about a slow Loris eating a rice ball, and then we played a Michelle Malkin drop, and they assumed that what I meant was a racial...
Slur.
Whatever.
Right, which hadn't even occurred to me. Okay,
so,
still I
started
getting
them. So that
makes
them the racists for thinking of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was referring to the Loris. Okay. James in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I can't help but wonder what Ted Nugent is going to look like tonight. Every photograph and video I've ever seen of him, he's wearing that silly hunter's hat, a camouflage jacket, and waving his gun around.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well...
And you know what I was going to say was I thought to really top it off, what they ought to have is a clown car pull up in front of the Capitol building and have Donald Trump, Ann Coulter, and Ted Nugent all come out at the same time.
There you go. Let's just invite the entire clown car. Why just Ted Nugent? I mean, really.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, oh, speaking of others in the right-wing clown car, like Senator James Inhofe.
Uh-huh.
He told the National Review Online he and other Republicans plan to postpone the confirmation of Chuck Hagel. He said, I'll do that for as long as it takes.
Can you do that?
Jay Carney talking about Benghazi.
What is unfortunate here is the continuing attempt to politicize an issue, in this case through the nominees that themselves had nothing to do with Benghazi, and to do so in a way that only does harm to our national security interests.
Yes, but Chuck Hagel, you know the real thing, as you remember, Chris, they got to get to the bottom of that from 2007 thing where one of his staffers maybe had sexually harassed another staffer, something he had nothing to do with in any way.
Right.
They got to get to that. It's very troubling.
Yes, just
very
troubling.
Very troubling incident.
River City.
Right.
Troubling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Richard in Chicago. Hello, Richard.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. Listen, a couple quick comments. Stephanie, you guys, you're not a racist. You're too cool to be a racist. But being said, the Republicans are kind of turning into crabs in a barrel with this Tea Party versus the establishment. And one other quick comment, guns, policies against President Obama and Ted Nugent being at the State of the Union is really just about their racism, their sexism, their bias. And, you know, the only way to really fight back against that is that some of these people have to be run against, like the Congressman Stockman in his own district in his next term. Because that's the fastest way to deal with some of these knuckleheads that don't realize that they're really continuing to divide the country.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I see. But
yeah. It's a ridiculous publicity stunt that, you know, his own constituents ought to tell him it's not appropriate. Gary in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hey.
I just wanted to remind you of something that I know that you know, because you say that The American President is your favorite movie, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, in there, the president says, America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship.
Right.
You got to want it bad because you have to acknowledge a man who standing in the center of a stage saying something that would make your blood boil, advocating things, you know.
Right.
That's what Ted Nugent is.
Yeah.
Ted Nugent is that guy standing
yeah.
in
the... Well, stand. But I think the extra step, Gary, is that he is someone that has, at least two occasions, threatened the life of the president publicly.
I understand that. And as crazy as he is, I'm an American. I'm one of those land of the free Americans, home of the brave Americans, that you know, I'm not afraid of some guy standing in the middle of the stage screaming his lungs out.
Well, the FBI has other thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. That's where free speech actually stops. Publicly threatening the life of someone else. Okay, Janet in Michigan. Hey, Janet, welcome. Hello. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Boy, it's tough to be on hold because you hear so many things and you just want to... talk about it all.
Yes, all right, well, go ahead.
Okay, I'm from Michigan, and I'm a brown-skinned, half-Native American Indian.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I have been raped, by the way. Yeah. Now, I'm trying to figure out, and maybe Jim could really help with this, too. He's such a historian, because the deal is we vote things in, and then they expire? What is up with that?
Right.
Violence against women, the Equal Rights Amendment, the...
I'm sorry, I don't think it's any more complicated. If you're voting against the Violence Against Women Act, you are inherently for violence against women, apparently. I mean, seriously, the objections they make to it are ludicrous, I think.
This is crazy. I mean, it's if you're a woman in America, it's getting more scary. Just because what do we mean to you guys? What you know, you're in our faces. I want the Republicans to keep this up because we do have elections coming, and yep. That's what they don't realize. The deeper they dig the hole, the more we're all watching. And I'll tell you right now how we feel is we have fear. We have fear for what they're trying to do because yep. They're in our faces with all kinds of negativity.
That would be that'd be awesome if even the gerrymandering didn't work.
Right.
And,
I know.
And it blowed up in their face real good. Bob in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
I hope newsbusters are watching. I've got an issue with something very offensive.
Yes.
And as a veteran, it really offends me that this representative from Texas would call a crap in his pants racist draft dodger a true American patriot.
Yep.
And on the same point, Dick Cheney, a five-time draft dodger, calling that Chuck Hagel and John Kerry are second-class citizens, a true American.
Second-class nominee. What did he say? Second-class
people.
Yeah.
That is very offensive, and I hope newsbusters will jump on that.
Yes,
and
I'm sure they will.
Get off this rice ball crap.
Yes, thank
please.
You. Thank you. I'm sure they're getting to that next.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Lisa in Dallas. Hi, Lisa.
Yay!
Yay! Go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Oh, she wasn't clapping for you.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry. The baby just did something fantastic. We had to clap for her.
Good baby. Yay. Okay, go ahead.
I make my year-old granddaughter watch your show every day.
Aw.
Right. But I did want to call in and talk to you about this whole Ted Nugent falafel. Listen, help me out with this, Chris. Isn't there a Democratic Southern House member at all that could maybe invite, I don't know, Natalie from the Dixie Chicks, or hell, all three of them?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, weren't they said to be speaking treasonous stuff when
yeah. All
they said there they were embarrassed that he came from Texas?
Yeah,
well, and they didn't, just FYI, threaten
the life
George Bush's
of anybody.
Life. Just FYI, GTK. Good baby! Good baby! Yay! Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! Happy State of the Union, everybody. I'm a big geek. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook.
Lots.
You can get amazing swag.
Yep.
And you can get tickets for the big one. The big one coming up.
Chicago, it's time to stand up for your sexy amendment rights.
A well-intoxicated media being necessary for the sanity of sexy liberals. The right of the people to laugh out loud shall not be infringed.
No. That's right, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Windy City to fight for your right to keep and bear all. If you haven't witnessed this epic, record-breaking comedy tour before...
What the f*** are you waiting for?
And even if you have, do it again, because... Live at the Chicago Theater.
Steffi.
I'm sexy and I know it.
On April 13th, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and the darling of progressive media, Stephanie Miller, are bringing a whole new level of naughty comedy to Chicago. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live at the Chicago Theater. For your tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com.
No background check required.
Girl, look at that body.
Yeah, get it. I work out. Okay. Speaking of sexy, yay!
Hello, world, here's the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Good morning again, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. Somebody asked me on Twitter if I had injured Jim with the hopes of taking over, and I said, well, if I was actually trying to sabotage him, I'd go for something more treacherous than the knee.
Yeah.
They wondered if it was a Nancy Kerrigan thing.
Yeah.
Jim is at home going,
Why?
Jackie? all right, State of the Union tonight, and then should we mention again Valentine's Day this week? Is this a manufactured holiday to make us single people feel bad? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, you know, there's a good spin class on Valentine's Eve. Unfortunately, it's not the time that we can go. It's a little bit later for us. But I was like, that's a good way to spend my...
That's a good idea. Exactly.
Everybody will be single in that one. So you can
That's what it is. It's
single and mingle.
Single and sweaty.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I've never looked finer than in that moment.
Right. Sweat dripping. Yes, there you go. All right. Although I tend to run into exes and other stalkers at spinning, so...
Well, that's because they're intentional. Yeah. They show up to find you. It's not accidental.
Yeah, you pretty much live your life on the air,
and
so they know where to find you, Stephanie.
Right, and you're clipped into the bike, so you can't run away.
Take it away. What if your friend is stuck there for the first time, she just leaves you sitting there. Trying to figure out how to get out.
Yeah.
Right.
No
matter how fast you spin, you can't get away from your bad life choices. That's the problem. So that would make me technically a stationary dyke. All right. Yes, I did. Okay.
I like that.
All right. This may be actually a worse Valentine's Day than ours. New York City Valentine's Day sewage tour has been big demand.
What?
The Department of Environmental Protection again offering Valentine's Day tours of the Newtown Creek sewage treatment plant in Brooklyn's Greenpoint. Sewage plant in Brooklyn? Huh?
Because you got to travel to find trash in New York? Really?
People are weird. During last year's tour, the plant's gung-ho superintendent warned the visitors a digester egg was about to emit a foul odor. It did not disappoint. I love you, honey.
What's a digester egg?
I love you, honey. Let's go to a poo plant.
I lived in New York for 6 years. There's trash in a lot of different places. You don't have to make a special field trip.
You go down any alleyway.
New York's pretty scratch and sniff. You don't need to go anywhere special. all right. I hesitate to do, but it really is pretty. We have to, is it Gawker that brings us this?
Okay.
Cancel Valentine's Day. The grandest romantic gesture possible has been performed. I don't know, and this will just make us all feel worse.
Uh-huh.
Jackie from Sue Johnson of Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My sweet husband John and I were married for 46 years. Each Valentine's Day, he'd send me the most beautiful flowers containing a note with 5 simple words, "My love for you grows." 4 children, 46 bouquets, and a lifetime of love were his legacy to me when he passed away 2 years ago.
Aww.
On my first Valentine's Day alone, 10 months after I lost him, I was shocked to receive a gorgeous bouquet addressed to me from John. Angry and heartbroken, I called the florist to say there'd been a mistake. The florist replied, "No, ma'am, it's not a mistake. Before he passed away, your husband prepaid for many years and asked us to guarantee that you'd continue getting bouquets every Valentine's Day."
With
my heart in my throat, I hung up the phone and read the attached card. It said, "My love for you is eternal."
Why
did I read that? Why did you send me that story?
I'm tearing up here.
Although, this does put into context the Mitt Romney story about his father leaving his mother a rose and her knowing he had passed because there was no rose. That just stopped.
Right.
Right.
Well, not to be insensitive.
Right. Exactly.
But
not to say Romney's had enough money to do the lifetime flower thing when this guy did. Just saying.
I did.
Wasn't that awesome?
And I'm the one who sent the story to you.
That's very sweet. Did you really tear?
I did, yes. You can see it on the TV.
Stop moving the camera. Leave it on him.
Come on, ratings gold. Here we go.
How emotional. It's cute.
Yeah. all right. So, State of the Union, obviously the president going to talk about the focuses on the economy and jobs, and the Republicans will have the same response, right, Jackie? You know, big government, blah, 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 big spender. Nancy Pelosi had this to say.
The fact is we've had plenty of spending cuts, $1.6 trillion in the Budget Control Act.
Yeah, there is that. They seem immune to facts, the Republicans.
Yeah, no, they're allergic to facts.
Yeah. Jay Carney talking about the economy.
The economy is poised to continue to grow, to continue to build on the progress we've made, to continue to build on the job creation that we've achieved, over 6.1 million jobs created by our businesses over the past 35 or 36 months.
I think Boehner just pre-prepares his reaction. It just will be, where are the jobs? No matter what the president says, he'll just say, where are the jobs?
Yeah, no, it doesn't really matter. They just see the same stuff over and over again. You know, I was listening. I don't watch a lot of Fox, but I do like to listen to it sometimes on the radio on the way home.
Uh-huh.
I figure if I'm angry at traffic already, it's fine to kind of keep the anger level where it is.
Sure.
And so I was listening yesterday, and I heard someone say, I think it was Lou Dobbs talking to someone, and they said, this is the worst recovery since the Depression.
Right.
I thought, well,
right.
Were we in the worst economic state since the Depression?
Yes, we were.
Right.
And so it's the hardest recovery since, and yet they've now turned the phrase, and they're saying it's the worst recovery since the Depression.
By the way, Roger, speaking of Fox News, in an interview about Fox News, the Republican Party, blah, 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 Roger Ailes also added in a criticism of the president. He said President Obama was trying to get everyone to hate each other. The president likes to divide people into groups. He's too busy getting the middle class to hate rich people, blacks to hate whites. He's busy trying to get everyone to hate each other.
The president is?
Right, right. Because that's what we remember when we first saw Barack Obama just talking about divisiveness.
What
there
a
was
divider
no,
he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No blue states.
I mean, I would argue he spends too much time trying to make people like him.
Right.
I mean, I think there's too much compromise sometimes with people who are never going to like him.
Right. And they never offer any of it. He's trying to get black people to hate white. What? What do they base? But that's kind of the meme of Fox News, right?
Yep.
Well, this coming from the woman who's racist against Asians, so.
Right. Well, of course.
What would you notice? I mean, really?
Please, just go to Newsbusters if you want to know what Jackie's talking about. Okay.
Too soon? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, too soon.
Yes. By the way, I know what you mean about right-wing irritation when you're in traffic in L.A. Mm-hmm. I sometimes tune into Rush Limbaugh because you think, well, you want to know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But then there's that certain vortex, that combination of bad traffic, and it just gets too irritating. I'm like, all right.
Like when it's backed up on Barham over here?
Right. The traffic's irritating, and Rush is even more irritating, and now I've heard enough of what he's doing. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right, now I know what he's saying, and I can't take any more.
That's why
too
I put something
irritating,
like serious coffee house melodies or something like that in between my aggravating station.
Yes.
So it's just one click
I do that,
away.
Too. I go to K-Big here in Los Angeles for a little palate cleanser, a little, song, little Adele song, something. Just, yeah. All right. I love this story. I don't know if you saw PBS Frontline. Because we'll see how tough the president is about, you know, whatever he says, they're going to call it divisive, right? And
right. Yep.
He's a hater and he's, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. They detailed Washington, D.C.'s recent budget battles with one scene taking a look at the speech. Remember where the president eviscerated Paul Ryan's budget and Paul Ryan was there?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? It was at George Washington University. He was talking about Ryan's proposal to privatize Medicare, saying it's a vision that says America can't afford to keep the promise we made to our seniors. It says that 10 years from now, if you're a 65-year-old who's eligible for Medicare, you'd have to pay nearly $6,400 more than you would today. It says instead of guaranteed health care, you'd get a voucher, and if that voucher isn't worth enough to buy insurance, tough luck, you're on your own. Put simply, it ends Medicare as we know it. Well, Ryan at the time called that a partisan broadside. Does that seem, even Alan Simpson's like, it was really nasty. I mean, seriously, Jackie, is there anything in there that's nasty or personal?
No, but I think that screaming "you lie" at the president during a State of the Union is pretty nasty. I mean, the parameters are so dysfunctional on the Republican side. It's like any time you poke them in any way, it's a horrible attack of epic proportions. And then they smack back, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. According to the Frontline Special, though, so the administration officials didn't expect Ryan to attend the speech, and they tried to warn Obama of Ryan's presence but didn't get to him in time. But I'm, like, reading that, and I'm going, what? So that was some sort of horrible...
But what does it matter?
Privatizing Medicare is a horrible idea. The president pointed out in policy terms why that's a horrible idea.
Yeah, he didn't personally attack him in any way.
Right.
He just pointed out that his policies were rotten.
He didn't, for instance, call him the budget monster or anything that one would hear here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He didn't hold up a picture of him in workout clothes and show it to everybody. Didn't
say he was unpacking a rice ball.
Right.
Exactly.
He didn't say what kind of dork wears a baseball cap backwards. What sort of grown man? And you do anything but curls? Really? We're still irritated.
No, you know what? With those biceps, he wasn't curling anything. Seriously.
Just for the camera.
Don't get me started on him.
Listen. All right. Jackie Schechner, stay in the sidecar. We continue 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The station where the handbasket to hell leaves from. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't be so shallow. Free your mind. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Healthcare geek, newswoman extraordinaire Jackie Schechner in the sidecar with us. Oh, I forgot. This segment of the Stephanie Miller Show, we were talking about the president eviscerating Paul Ryan's Medicare plan, and I forgot this segment is brought to you by...
Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Voucher Hospital. Brought to you by Ace Hardware Stuff.
Nurses to the nurses station.
Dr. Ryan.
Hello, Mary. Well, I've got good news and bad news.
Yes?
First, the bad news. You need a bypass operation, and it costs $167,000.
And the good news?
The good news?
Yes.
I have a voucher here.
This is for $2 off an extra value meal at Wendy's.
Oh, wrong voucher. Here you go.
Okay, this is for $2 off a $167,000 bypass operation.
You're welcome.
Will Mary get her bypass operation? Will Dr. Ryan be able to use a voucher for 18 holes at Pebble Beach? Tune in tomorrow to Voucher Hospital.
All right, that's a beautiful thing.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. Thank you.
This is a Subway Sub Club card, and it still needs two stamps.
Kevin in Chicago writes, Steph and the Mooks Mookat, I'm for one am glad Ted Nugent is going to be in attendance at the State of the Union tonight. The more than sane, rational people continue to see just how extreme the GOP is, especially how disinterested they are in actually governing, more interested in putting on a show for their lunatic base, the sooner the entire nation will see them as nothing more than a regional party comprised of bigots, demagogues, and haters of democracy. Your thoughts? I understand in some ways. You go, yeah, it is. It's the face of extremism. Maybe it is a good thing.
I don't know. I mean, the problem is we're drawing a lot of attention away from the guests who are invited, who actually are there for good reason. And that was what I mentioned kind of in my last news break, is that, you know, Gabby Giffords is going to be there with her husband, Mark Kelly. Hadiya Pendleton's parents are going to be there, the 15-year-old that was just shot in Chicago.
Yeah.
Several representatives from Newtown. You know, a lot of people who've been seriously affected by gun violence will be there in the audience tonight as guests of the First Lady or other members of Congress.
Well,
I think it's important to pay them just as much attention as this sideshow.
And that's why it's particularly douchey of this guy, though. It's like, you know, this isn't a point-counterpoint argument. I think, you know, that they're just doing that as an affront, I think. They're doing that as a counterpoint to these grieving families.
Yeah, and I think they really should. I mean, I just don't understand, I'll say it again and again, why the Secret Service doesn't step in and say, you know what, you're not welcome here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. This guy, Stockman, that invited him, he has also pledged to truth check President Obama in real time throughout the speech with the hashtag you lie.
Oh, there's a respectful one for you.
Nice.
Yes, nice. He also, this is from a campaign press release in May 2012, he said, I'll do to the Obama agenda what Ted does to a whitetail. I'll drop it where it stands and then gut it. So there's...
Who elects these people?
Some people in Texas.
I mean, the rhetoric alone is enough to say, you know what, you don't deserve to be serving in Congress. I mean, where is the level of respect that comes with being a federal lawmaker?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's making the State of the Union into a circus sideshow in my humble
opinion. People complain that we have no respect left for Congress. It's because congressmen behave like us.
That's right.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. Kirk in Kansas, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Kirk. Hello, Kirk.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Kirk.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Years ago, I ran the security at Vermont's Lawson Shopping Center down in South Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an interesting thought here. If you want to outlaw guns, how about you make the gangs terrorists? You declare them a terrorist organization that's going around killing people, and that gives the federal authority to come in and take away some guns of people who don't need them. This would apply to gangs. It would apply to the Mexican cartels that run the drugs. Anyhow, it's just a tool someone might want to use to take away a lot of the problems we have in the cities, the inner cities, Chicago. What if you took away the gang members' guns? Or if they have them and you catch them, they go to jail, just like a terrorist, because guess what? They are.
Well, yeah, all right. I'm not a lawyer.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure
not
drones can solve every
that.
Problem.
No.
But say that again, Jack.
I'm not sure there's a legal way to do that.
Yeah.
But I do think we obviously have a problem, not only with guns, but gang violence. Mm-hmm. It really is a form of domestic terrorism, if you think about it. If you're afraid to step outside your house because you're afraid that somebody's going to use a weapon like that in a dangerous manner, that is a form of terror.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's go to Albert in Tucson on what Jackie said. Hello, Albert.
Morning, Steph, Chris, and Jackie.
Good morning.
Hi, good
love
morning.
You guys. I've been a busy guy this morning. I've called the Secret Service, and I've also sent off an email to Peter Chung of the Asian Journalists Association.
Oh,
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Now, when I called the Secret Service, I said, I'd like to know your policy on someone like Ted Nugent being in the same room as the President of the United States. And the lady assured me that they do indeed have a policy on that, and they're well aware of it because they've gotten hundreds of calls.
Oh, good.
Yes. Now, I also emailed Peter Chung and kindly, politely berated him for his misinformed demand of an apology from you, and I'm waiting for an apology
from him.
Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
that. All right.
You want to come help me out next time I have to break up with someone?
Yeah, please.
Yes. He's good at that.
Is that a regular thing with you, Jackie Schechner? Are you a little heartbreaker?
No.
It's just hard to do.
Just
exactly. He was so diplomatic.
Right.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Right.
According to Neil Sedaka.
Don't get your Neil Sedaka in my Pat Benatar.
Two totally different artists.
I need a lover who won't drive me crazy. Okay. That's all I'm looking for. Debbie in Texas, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Deb.
Hey, girlfriend.
Hi. Go ahead.
Debbie. You keep me sane here in Jacksonville, Texas, honey.
Oh, my goodness. I always fear for people that are hinging their sanity on mine. Go ahead.
I got real upset when I heard about this Stockman event bringing Nugent in, you know?
Yep.
And so I started looking into it, and it turns out that Stockman represents good old Jasper County.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the story about the dear, poor, unassuming black man that was hauled?
James Byrne.
Oh, my God.
That was dragged from the truck.
That was Jasper County, baby.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. That explains a lot. Jackie Schechner, thanks for filling in.
Love
you
lots.
Hour. Love you. Miss you already. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World and more on the Stephanie Miller Show as we continue.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. She has a hard exterior, but deep inside she has a soft, nasty, slutty center.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Al in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Al. Hi, Al.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hey, am I on?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hey, listen, I'm calling again from the land of Newt Gingrich here in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And two things about tonight. First of all, unfortunately, as we'd like to ban Ted Nugent, that would simply make him into a victim on Fox News.
Yeah.
So we can't do that. It's a double standard because, you know, you can ban Cindy Sheehan because, you know, she hates the troops and, you know,
but
you can't ban, you can't ban Ted Nugent because then he's a patriot and a victim. So, you know, we just got to live with that. That's the liberal tax. But anyway,
and he was a draft dodger. He loves the military so much. Right.
Yeah. Oh, sure. What a guy.
He's
anyway, look, here's the second point now and I'll stop. Tonight, listen, he ought to be as aggressive, push his stuff. We all know that if he stood there and just read names alphabetically out of the phone book, they'd still call him a communist.
Yep.
So he might as well just push his stuff, be aggressive, because it's this reaching out stuff is never going to play. They don't want to be reached out to. So
you know, you're right.
If he himself.
Exactly. He ought to, you know, if he really had a sense of humor, he would just actually read from Karl Marx. He would just, instead of the phone book, he'd go, you know what?
You're going to call me a communist anyway, so I'd like to read some things.
There you go. Read alphabetically Russian names out of the phone book.
There you go.
That would really piss them off.
Al, you get a $50 ProFlowers gift card. What do you think of that there?
I do.
Yes.
Just in time for Valentine's
Right.
Day.
Hold on.
And you don't even need to type Stephanie in the referral box.
No, because I just gave it to you. However, if you'd like flowers for your Valentine, ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in Stephanie.
Wow.
Right. See, did I say upper right-hand corner?
You did.
Because I'm a well-known racist. According to Newsbusters.
I'm not sending that
upper
part.
Upper right-hand corner.
I'm not sending that part to ProFlowers.
Right-hand corner. Speaking of right, how about some right-wing world, everybody? Here we go.
Hey.
Okay. Wow, are they trying to spin this Southern California cop killer guy?
Yeah, they are.
Can I just say he's a bipartisan douchebag, that guy?
Right.
He's... Why are they trying to make him into a liberal? I don't even get it. He said he didn't vote in this election. He voted for Huntsman was his guy.
Right.
I don't even...
At one point, he said he liked what Senator Feinstein is doing.
Ah. Okay.
Yes.
So,
but he also said he liked the right-wing people on the station next door.
Right.
So...
Right. Okay.
What are you going to do?
Sean Hannity and Dennis Prager.
It's also the double standard. If he praised conservatives...
Oh,
as
course.
He did liberal media
no,
figures.
No, no. We would be responsible for all those. We're responsible when we have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Paul Krugman of the New York Times said Jared Loughner, the day it happened, he said Jared Loughner was a product of talk radio and conservative
They've been doing this for years, going back to Tim McVeigh, Rod. They did this, blame Rush, blame talk radio, blame Bob Grant. I'm not going to do what they do because it doesn't make sense.
That's right.
But... Their silence is deafening here. The double standard is even more glaring.
Yeah. The cases they talk about, Chris, specifically Sean Hannity, among others, people's books have been found.
That's right.
And the person, I can't remember which one. It's actually another cop killer, remember?
The one from Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That cited he had Hannity and I don't remember, O'Reilly, in somebody else's book. Oh, and Michael Savage, that liberalism is a disease. And he cited that. I mean.
Yeah. And don't forget the murder of Dr. Tiller in his own church.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is a stretch. This guy is, obviously, it was some... His main grudge is the LAPD.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Being treated unfairly. It's not a political thing of either side. It's saying the LAPD treated me unfairly, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that being said, I don't care what he...
Yeah, he's killed people. He's a murderer.
Scumbag.
Well,
yes.
Alleged murderer. Thank you.
Well, the most horrible thing is he allegedly killed the daughter of a guy he had and her fiance. I mean, it's just, that's a horrible story. All right, Ann Coulter on the, speaking of horrible, Ann Coulter on the Fox News.
I think whenever you talk about Benghazi, it would be useful to play a little clip of Hillary and Susan Rice claiming it was this American, Egyptian-American filmmaker out here in L.A. and some silly trailer he put online. I mean, they lie about this. An American is killed. 8 hours go by, and now we find out from the outgoing defense secretary that Obama didn't talk to him again. It really is so much more shocking than anything that happened in the Bush administration.
No.
Oh, really? Really?
Got winded there a little bit.
Are you okay?
You mean
Nina Heimlich?
Thousands and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, Americans dying for fictional weapons of mass destruction. That's not shocking at all.
That's not important.
No.
Right now.
No. I see. They are still on Benghazi, really?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, the video is still being cited as part of this whole thing that was happening in this entire area in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John, I don't know who he is, a former FBI agent on
Guandolo.
On WorldNet Daily.
Yeah.
Mr. Brennan did convert to Islam when he served in an official capacity on behalf of the United States and Saudi Arabia. And that fact alone is not what is most disturbing and makes him unfit for duty. What makes him unfit for duty was his conversion to Islam was the culmination of a counterintelligence operation against him to recruit him. And the fact that foreign intelligence service operatives recruited Mr. Brennan when he was in a very sensitive and senior U.S. government position in a foreign country means that he is either a traitor or he has the inability to discern and understand how to walk in those kind of environments, which makes him completely unfit to be the director of Central Intelligence.
Oh, I see. So let me review here. So instead of being the head of the CIA, he should be executed for treason.
Yes.
So we should actually turn that into a tribunal rather than a...
We should. That's what they traffic in over at World Nut Daily. I'm sorry, World Net Daily.
Pardon me.
Got that wrong.
Yes. You're bad.
I'm bad. I'm racist.
Well, of course you are. You work for me.
Of course.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Let's just... Okay, let's end with Linda Harvey from Mission America. What's Mission America?
Oh, it's one of those web radio shows that seems to be popular amongst the righties.
Some.
Any would cave in and allow homosexual identity and attraction to be respected and welcomed among their boys.
Oh,
that would mean mental, spiritual, and possibly physical corruption, plain and simple. Mm. Parents and grandparents the nation over are appalled at the irresponsibility of this potential move, and the delay is not necessarily a good sign. Mm. What the National Boy Scouts may be hoping for is for more dialogue. In other words, ways to pressure local troop leaders and national Christian groups threatening to disaffiliate if this new policy goes through. The delay also allows homosexual groups to mount bigger nationwide campaigns to spin the issue as a matter of hate versus love and tolerance. Those of us with experience with these folks know this does not reflect reality.
Wow, that sounds like an entertaining little radio show there. Does she read the entire thing off cards?
I think she does.
Does she have prepared remarks every day?
Yeah, she hires a team of writers.
Because
that's exactly how you do a radio show for 3 hours.
Thanks, Linda Harvey. That sounds fun. Okay. One more slide whistle, maybe? Something. Okay. All right. Speaking of the gay, Mets catcher, not like that, baseball.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Piazza opens up about...
Piazza.
Piazza.
You said Piazza.
Piazza. Opens up about gay rumors and steroids in a new memoir. He wants his fans to know two things. He's not gay, and he's never taken steroids.
Let me be clear.
All right.
I am not gay.
Okay. I don't.
All right.
All right. Listen. All defensive. Speaking of the gay, yay for Leon Panetta. Calling it a matter of fundamental equity, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta signed a memorandum to the service secretaries and the Pentagon's top personnel office extending benefits to same-sex partners of service members. He said, taking care of our service members and honoring the sacrifices of all military families are two core values of this nation. Extending those benefits is an appropriate next step under current law to ensure that all service members receive equal support for what they do to protect this nation.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
A friend of mine who's a Marine, friend of mine on Facebook, he said that he's now very happy that he can put his partner on his health insurance.
Yeah, that would be equal.
Yeah.
Sounds like an equal benefit, equal right.
Right, and you don't F with Marines.
Right, no. No, or not the wrong one.
Not the wrong one.
Because if you, with the wrong one.
That's right.
He will presumably rip your head off and down your neck.
And my friend could.
Right. Kobe Bryant, not cool with homophobia. There's something new. He tweeted, just letting you know, using your gay as a way to put someone down ain't cool. Hashtag not cool. Delete that from your vocabulary.
Interesting.
He is, somebody else tweeted, apparently Kobe has learned a thing or two since 2011 when he was fined $100,000 for calling a referee a F word. Two F words in a row. One the gay man. And
one the F word.
I guess he's, as they say, evolved.
Good for him.
Good.
You know what? Say good for
him.
People who evolve
right.
like that.
All right. I wonder if Billy in Texas has evolved.
Oh,
good
God.
Morning, Billy in Texas.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Listen, Stephanie, I don't think that you're racist for
Thank
making
you.
The comment that you made about Michelle Malkin.
I
but
wasn't
how does
making it about Michelle Malkin. I was talking about a slow Loris eating
You were talking about, you know, a rice ball of nonsense. And even though I don't think it was meant to be as a racial slur,
Thank
but
you.
How does it make you feel? Now that you're being called a racist for something that you didn't mean is racist.
I think, how does it make me feel? It makes me feel like it's hilarious. because
well, everything
it's such a stretch.
It's super humor to y'all. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
and
still
I want to caution you, too, about this comment that you keep making about, hey, we voted for Obama, so, we voted for all these things. Like, we just got over this.
I'm talking about the polling on all of these issues. All these issues he ran on.
On everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, this isn't going to fly forever. Not everybody voted for Obama.
That's right. However, the vast majority of Americans
him,
agree with him.
Get,
all
know,
right, you're just going to talk over me, so blah, 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 blah. And here's some more sophomoric humor. Okay, 45 minutes. Just wasn't in the mood for him this morning.
No, uh-uh.
All right. You hush now. Here's a big bag of shush for you, Billy. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also Representative Judy Chu.
Exactly. All right. Tickets going fast for Chicago Sexy Liberal, by the way, April 13th. Go get it. They're flying out the window. It's unbelievable. I think we've broken every box office record in the history of anything
ever.
Anywhere. Ever. Sure. Hurry. Okay. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know what would be funnier than the president quoting Karl Marx?
What?
Would be him quoting Groucho Marx, and the teabaggers wouldn't know the difference.
Also funny. Exactly.
Okay. But I just want to give a suggestion.
Either way, he'd be a Marxist, as they say.
Exactly.
He is.
Right. I would just like to give a shout-out. Steve Stockman is as much a coward as Ted Nugent is, and I agree with your previous caller that he shouldn't be banned, because that's not – let him be there. Let him be embarrassed. He's a pedophile, a child molester,
so,
he's a draft dodger.
You're right. I mean, he's in some ways as embarrassing as Donald Trump is for the Republican Party. It's like
exactly.
if you want to let the clown show continue, go ahead.
But Stockman has shut down his website because he's a coward just like Nugent.
Oh.
So I'm just telling everyone who's listening, you should Facebook him or go to Twitter and let him know what you think of what a coward, that two cowards sitting there, that's just perfect.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
There's social media. Bravo to social media for this.
There you go. It's time to go answer the phone at your telephone.
I know.
Your big 1940s telephone is jangling in the background there. Hurry. Hurry. All right. Yes, the Stockman and Ted Nugent, the gun nuts, will be there.
Background check means universal registration. Universal registration means universal confiscation, universal extermination.
We don't agree with what you're doing. Coming to Texas to, quite frankly, piss on us.
I've been listening.
Hitler took the guns.
To what comes out of you.
Mao took the guns.
I'm assuming.
Stalin took the guns.
Yep.
That you have a screw loose.
So we're exploring red coat treason.
Ain't making it through to your head.
Get your kids away from the school that is indoctrinating them that socialism is okay.
You've been dabbling.
Find a place where you are surrounded by like-minded people.
Always trying.
What a global collaborator scum you are.
Oh. Ruling control.
Wait, taking everybody's guns.
You are insane. And we'll bond you your own bad room.
We know you want our guns. We're going to defeat you.
And in case you have forgot, what an odd job. Don't you think you might just have a screw?
We're showing everybody.
What an odd job. Your mind has slipped away.
They're coming to take me away,
What an odd job.
Stalin took the guns.
Only want to find out for you.
You're the one who won't do anything about the mental wheel.
The Barack Obama gang actually is attempting to re-implement the tyranny of King George.
Oh.
If you want another Concord Bridge, I got some buddies.
Oh, thank you, Ted. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. What a nut job. Fabulous piece. Dan in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
A veteran, I want to make a comment on the people that always call in and say they're law-abiding citizens and that their guns are being threatened.
Right.
Well, it seems to me that all the mass shootings since Columbine have been done by law-abiding citizens. If I'm incorrect, they had no criminal background before.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Apparently everybody's a good guy with a gun until they're not, right?
Right.
And they're a bad guy with a gun.
Well, I don't see what the deal is about being responsible with guns. I don't own one, but I was a veteran, and they're only made to kill, so I don't understand the arguments where they just want, you know, no regulations.
Yeah, I know. I yes, exactly. John in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
I got a little comment here. I don't know if everybody else would go with, but I think Congress should be paid on merit.
Ha! Well, that would be a tough slog for them, wouldn't it?
Because if they did, they'd finally start getting something done in Washington, because all they've been trying to do is they've been trying to punish the president of the United States. They're not punishing the president. They're punishing the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
By not getting anything done.
Yep.
Well, look at how long it took to get Sandy's relief. And by the way, what was that, 8-point-some billion or something like that?
Yeah, and it was late enough, John, that a lot of people are not going to be able to reopen their businesses in time on the Jersey Shore and elsewhere. I mean, it's,
well,
it's
what
a disgrace.
What disturbs me more is the pork that they put in there for NASCAR. I don't see NASCAR in any problems, but they accepted the money.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly right. All right, I am looking forward to, for a comedy, Rand Paul's Tea Party, Please and Thank You, his response tonight.
Yeah.
Although for comedy, it will never top Michelle Bachmann's. As you recall, her she was looking in the wrong camera.
That's right.
The entire time, and she had a bunch of charts that proved nothing.
Nothing.
Yes. However, this just gets better and better. I think this is, on Daily Kos, they call her the comical catastrophe that was her campaign may well live on forever. She has her bitter unpaid staffer.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying she covered up a crime. This gets...
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Surely she has a reasonable explanation for all this. It's been a few weeks since we tuned in as the bat-crazy Bachmann turns. I'm guessing they got that from,
sure.
from me. Sure. So it's a good time to check in on the latest scandal to emerge from Michelle Bachmann's failed presidential run. Peter Waldron, still hopping mad about Bachmann refusing to pay him and a few other staffers because they wouldn't sign a retroactive agreement not to cooperate with the police in any investigations into any potential criminal activities by her campaign. He's filed a complaint with the FEC, alleging several violations of federal election law by
the
campaign.
Dear.
Oh, I hope Marcus isn't involved.
Marcus does not think this is delicious.
He understands the penal code. He might be able to explain what happened there.
He understands the penal. I don't know if he understands the code.
Madonna has found the Instagram. I don't understand anything virtually on the interwebs.
That's because you're old.
And social media. So shady. Madonna keeps posting unflattering pictures of herself on Instagram, and it's awesome, according to Gawker. Say, on Saturday, she posted an image of herself peering over a martini glass with the caption...
Oh.
Cheers, mother...
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram.
That was a really unflattering picture.
Well, Gawker says she looks like a severe and soul-hungry like Mr. Burns in a blonde wig with bangs.
Yeah.
Then she's posted two more shots, a sweaty one after a workout, and one of her in an all-black disguise that includes sunglasses and a Fu Manchu.
Yeah, that's not what Instagram is for.
Yeah. She may be... Is she okay? Is everything okay over in Madonna Land?
I don't know. When she tries to latch on to what the kids are hip to.
If I start taking pictures of myself during box wine time with on the Instagram, please stop me.
It'll just be a lot
it's
of pictures
time for an intervention.
Of heating grates. That's all it'll be.
All right. Babysitting celebrities can be horrifying. Personal assistant to the stars tells all. I may have to get this book. And this somehow made me feel not quite as crazy.
All right.
From being forced to sleep in their bed with them and holding their hand to being on call 24/7 for meaningless demands, the babysitters of the rich and famous have revealed all the horrors they've dealt with working for A-list clients like Lady Gaga, Naomi Campbell, and Claire Danes to the New York Post.
Really? Claire Danes?
Rebecca White claims she was forced to work 24/7 and was required to sleep in Gaga's bed because she didn't want to sleep alone. See, if I could afford a personal assistant, I would totally, that would be me.
I'm surprised you haven't asked Travis to do that yet.
That's a great idea. Travis!
Oh, God.
All right, there'll be more details
tomorrow.
Oh,
God. I'm sorry I gave you that idea. Oh, jeez.
Travis, thanks, Chris. Hold me. I'm so lonely. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaBoy, T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie for filling in for Jim,
yep.
Jumping into the fray, and everybody else over at Current. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.